The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. So my guest today is Dr. Rebecca Naylor. Dr. Naylor spent over 35 years with the Bangalore Baptist Hospital in India as a surgeon and administrator. This physical ministry was a platform for her more important ministry of telling people about Jesus and helping new churches get started. Now retired in the U.S., she leads Mercy Clinic Fort Worth, located on the campus of her church, providing free medical care for low-income adults. She also teaches at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas and is a healthcare consultant for Baptist Global Response. Dr. Naylor, in order to accomplish so much with your life, you must have had to say no to other things. How did you decide what was worth investing your life in?
I think the choice was really defined by God's call on my life. The interest in medicine happened when I was really in junior high school. And I'm sure God put it there because I did not know anything. No one in the family was a doctor. I did not know how you became one. It was just there. And then the call to missions happened after that as a teenager. And again, I recognized it. I was very hesitant because I could not imagine that God could use someone as insignificant as myself to do that. But after a number of months, I realized that was not going away. And I agreed with God that I would do it. And so the direction of preparation really was focused. I didn't make any real choices after that. I mean, so far as career, because it was directed. And so I was very goal-oriented all the way through, you know, college and medical school and training.
How did you choose India as a place of service?
The mission board, our Southern Baptist International Mission Board, chose it. I had visited India as a tourist when I was a medical student. And years later, 5 years later, when the board was meeting with me to decide about place of service, the place I was most needed was a new hospital they were building in South India. After my tourist visit as a student, I actually said to myself, I am never coming back to this place. God had a different plan, for which I am now grateful. I did not tell the mission board of that feeling when they said, this is the place you're needed. I just said, okay, I'll go.
So you just kind of, you put yourself in their hands as far as that decision. You're like, you're the experts in where missionaries are needed and missionary surgeons are needed.
Yes.
I'm just going to trust. Okay, yeah. So let's say that there's a young Christian woman listening to us now, and she's trying to figure out whether God has called her to international service somewhere. How would you advise her to discern whether God's called her?
The most important thing, of course, is her personal relationship with God as she reads God's word. I think he speaks. And it is in that context, as you pray, that God will reveal. I'm a person, I've never had sudden revelations. It's been a slow, gradual understanding. And I think when you have what you think is God's direction, you take a step toward that. If you have misunderstood, I think God will close the door. The key to all of that is being totally willing to do anything without any qualifications about place or what to do or any of those things. One of my life verses has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So those conditions are there, and if you are doing that, He has promised to direct your paths. He keeps every promise, and you can count on it.
Amen. That's so true. Now, let's say that there's a woman who, she really does feel like God's calling her to international service, but she's really struggling with fear about living in a third world country, you know, disease, crime, pollution, in spiritual darkness. Did you experience fear? And if so, what helped you with that?
I think I really did not. I was, again, sure of God's call, and I had trusted him with it. I knew he could take care of me. I knew things might happen. I knew there would be difficulties. There would be wherever I was. But I would have had fears here as well. So the fear was never really a factor for me. Even adjusting to culture was not a real problem. I went knowing it would be very different and that I had to learn. And that was just an accepted given of the situation. So I moved forward. I was just so sure that God had called me and directed me that to counter that, to distrust that, would have not been right.
Let's say there's a 25-year-old Christian woman listening who does believe the Lord is leading her into international service, but there's also a young godly man who's interested in her, and she's trying to decide whether she should remain single to be able to serve the Lord with more freedom or remain open to the possibility of this relationship developing further. How would you advise her?
If God has called her, God is well able to bring a partner who fits that calling. If the person that she's interested in or that is interested in her doesn't know or hasn't been called or whatever, I think she's very unwise to pursue the relationship. I was very sure about my call to missions. Yes, it would have been great, I thought, if there had been a male who was also going into missions and we could share life together. And I had every confidence that if that were to happen, God would provide. It did not happen, and that was okay. I didn't choose singleness. God chose me to do what he asked me to do, and it seems that God had a plan that I would do it single. And if that's the case, then that's the case, and it was okay. I did not date anybody who wasn't interested or who really wasn't called into missions. Because, I mean, you never know. You get interested in each other, and before long, you're not following God's call.
Yes, it can start to divert you or distract you.
Yes.
If you could live your life over again, are there any, you know, major decisions that you would make differently?
No. My life has been a great privilege from God. There's that verse, I think it's in Psalms, that my lines have fallen in pleasant places, and they have. When I look back, it's not making different choices or doing a different thing. I guess maybe we all would look back and think, could I have done it better? But yet, I really don't have regrets.
That's great. Just like married people can find, if you know, if a temptation is to find their identity in their spouse or their children, as single Christians serving the Lord, there can be the temptation to find our identity in what we're doing for Christ rather than in Christ himself. How did you keep your identity rooted in your relationship with Jesus?
It's being in God's word and through prayer. It is your spiritual disciplines. It is easy to get lost in the activity, which is good activity. It's even the activity he put you in. But it's your identity in Christ that's going to fuel that activity. And the identity in Christ is going to have to come from your time in God's word and in prayer, in communication with God.
How did you manage to carve out that time for the Lord?
If not called, I just got up earlier and had that time first thing in the morning before going to work. If that got interrupted, which of course it did occasionally. It might, if you know, if you miss one day, hopefully that's not going to destroy your spiritual life. And you would look for some other time that day.
Who was it that trained you or mentored you or taught you to have that discipline time with the Lord?
First of all, my parents, because they did. My father was a pastor. He and my mother both were very faithful in their time in God's Word, and we had family worship as well every day, regularly, and I was of course expected to participate. And another thing that I found, even in the years of education, the places where I went to school, of course, the primary purpose was the education, and I think God put me in each of those places. But in each instance, I had a church relationship that turned out to be very significant to me in spiritual growth and development. So another very important thing, of course, would be developing some relationships and finding role models in the fellowship of believers where you are worshiping and serving.
What do you feel like God's call on you for this season of your life is?
This season of life, I'm fully engaged now in mobilizing healthcare professionals and students to go overseas on mission. I do this by dealing with volunteers. I do it by leading medical missions conferences. I consult with our International Mission Board on healthcare strategies. So I'm fully engaged in medical missions even now, though I'm in the U.S. and not serving overseas physically. But I'm still very much engaged in and working virtually full-time.
What qualities make a good missionary?
One thing, of course, the basis is God's call. There is nothing that's going to keep you there doing it except God's call, because there's going to be times when it seems like, you know, you just might as well go home. Missionaries have to be flexible people. We almost joke about it, but we have the saying, simply adjust. The missionary, and even people who go for short service overseas, need to be learners of culture and language. They do not come with the answers. They do not come superior in any way. And they come as learners of another culture, of another language, of another world. Treating others with openness and respect, even as the opportunities come to share their own faith journey. Not just the missionary, all of us need to know that God has promised His presence always. He will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. I love the verses in Psalm 139. Even if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there, His hand will lead me and His right hand will hold me fast. And so you have this tremendous assurance and promise of God. And so as a single person, you are not alone, no matter where you are, as long as you're doing what God wants you to do.
There's actually a biography written about Dr. Naylor. If you Google Dr. Rebecca Naylor, you'll find the biography, along with other good stuff about her and by her. If you'd like to contact her, send me an email and I'll forward it on to her. You can also email me if you have any questions or suggestions for me, or know somebody I should interview, or if you'd like to apply for the Fruitful Single $1,000 Missions Travel Scholarship. My email address for all of that is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. May Jesus bless you with a fruitful week. And remember, don't waste your singleness because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.